And so I'm going to call the meeting of the Citizens Police Review Board to order. I believe we have a quorum. So I think we'll, as usual, start with introductions, and I think I'll begin once again at Assistant Chief Dickinson's end. Paul, you want to introduce you?
Paul Dickinson, CPD.
Denise?
Introductions.
Introductions.
I'm Denise Plazek, I'm on the board.
Steph Yocum, Commission on Human Rights.
Jamie Thornsberry, board member.
Doug Hunt, board chair.
Stephanie Coleman, board member.
I'm Harry.
And Harry Caslow is on his way in.
Our quorum gets stronger.
Great.
Rosewood Meyer Law Department.
Peyton Oliver, City Management Fellow.
Wait for Harry to get seated. Good evening to you. All right, our first item, as usual, is the approval of the agenda, which is before you. Do I hear a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Second. Coleman, second. Jamie was the...
Mm-hmm. Okay, it's been moved and seconded to accept the agenda as printed. All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? And we did get a chance to look at the draft minutes from the last meeting, September 11th meeting. So I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
So moved.
I'll second that.
Moved and seconded to accept the minutes as written. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Good. Under old business, and it's sort of interesting to think about because we can see this as both old business and new business at the same time almost, is planning for training, which also might feed in to a later discussion of planning for next month's agenda. I don't know where we are on our planning for training. I know that Rose had sent out NACOL's topics as one of the ways of thinking about the planning for training. And I think you've had a chance to look at those. I'm going to sit back for a minute and see whether other people have suggestions about where we might start on the planning for training. I've got a favorite from the list, so to speak. It's just like going down the aisle and shopping or something like that, but...
And so you know, once you're fully, have full membership again, Earl Krause is going to do the training on the Sunshine Law and, you know, General Board and Commission training. Right now we're planning that for December's meeting, but if the council needs more time to fill all the vacancies, then we'll just do it the first meeting when the full board is available.
So is that mean, and it's a practical matter, I mean, we want to think about a longer-term plan, but that the first meeting where we're actually doing training probably will be Earl Krause talking about Sunshine Law, you think?
Potentially, especially since you're going to have three vacancies and three new appointments, I think it's probably good to start the training cycle with the full board. And I would suggest, just because winter, by that time it's going to be holidays and winter, so I would say we should focus on adding an hour of training in the next couple months during the regular meeting, and then plan for some maybe longer trainings or special meeting dates in the spring where we don't necessarily have to worry about bad weather delaying people, whether that's board members or speakers or that sort of thing.
Like a work session in springtime?
Or another example was use of force training often involves some kind of, there's the training on the legal issues of use of force, but those usually have been like 3-hour, 4-hour presentations at an offsite location because there's either like, there used to be the simulator, I don't think they use a simulator anymore, but they'll run simulations of how police are trained on use of force, that sort of thing, and that takes longer. Or in the past, the board brought in some speakers from NACOL to do like almost like a mini they call conference, but here instead so that everybody could participate. So it just kind of depends upon structure, what's of interest to you all, in what order, and then when we can arrange speakers coming in. So if you have certain priorities of interest that you want to take up first, then I know what to focus on trying to find the different speakers and make the arrangements.
Thoughts, anybody, about?
I'm trying to find the email.
I'll pitch in with one observation, but I don't know where this falls into the sequence. But I mean, part of the question is, yes, new board members are coming on, and in a sense, it's a new training. There's also some continuity in terms of topics that we've been pursuing for some time that appear on the NAICS whole list. And one that stood out for me, and it might have been item number 4 or something on the NAICS whole list, I can't remember, was training, resources, and procedures for dealing with mentally disturbed individuals and individuals under the influence of drug and alcohol. Repeatedly
focus on mental health.
Yeah, that's come up in discussion over and over again, and so it might be a topic that we would like to take up sooner rather than later. I think it's just, and I didn't get a sense in the when I was looking at the NAICS list that there was a logical order to this one must be done before this one must be done before this one. It seemed like separate topics, and that one seems pressing enough, both in the public's eye and in what we're seeing on the board, that I would suggest that we move to that as soon as we can.
Well, I mean, that was the one thing that if you hadn't said it, I was going to say, just focusing on mental health. We've got, it's such a huge topic, and you know, I think we definitely need more training and understanding on what's happening.
Right, and meanwhile, there's the continuing discussion of co-responders, which obviously is a related topic, so it seems like it's a very pressing thing.
And de-escalation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and de-escalating altered individuals who are not following.
And when you say de-escalation, we did have a training, I don't remember when it was sometime back, but I know that CPD was supposed to revamp their training, and I don't think we have seen what they've done to revamp it yet, so that would be interesting to know, you know, where it is.
I think when I think about the situation that you're in, Rose, that is trying to line up things in the future, it might be useful to have, not be always going one at a time. There would be a natural transition from talking about the mental health topic to the larger de-escalation topic. So that might be, you know, a good back-to-back. De-escalation obviously applies in the mental health situation, but it applies in so many other situations. I'm getting the sense that those are high priorities for people on the board, so. Got to have it down. Okay, have it down. Any other observations on planning for training under old business before we move to new? First item under new business is election of a chair. I don't know how we can elect chairs without nominations, and so.
Have everybody here, and that's kind of where we were when we
started.
We passed it on several months because we didn't have everybody here to see who wanted it and who would be willing. And you can pass it if you'd like.
Do we have to have a chair, or can we rotate it?
Or I was going to suggest, are we permitted an interim chair?
You can do either of those things. Eventually, you'll probably want a chair because somebody has to approve the letters that go out, and somebody has to kind of be the main point person for the press and that sort of thing. So it is helpful to staff if there is a chair, but you can delay the appointment for a while. Like Stephen's not here tonight, but I believe Doug will not be on the board next month. So then Stephen, if he's here, will, as vice chair, run the meeting. But you know, if he's not here, then one of you, if there's a quorum, will run the meeting. And if we know that he's not going to be here or something, I will try and have kind of a script, so to speak, of, you know, to kind of help whoever's going to do it go through all the different things. And you don't have to use it if you don't want to, but it'll be at least that. And if, you know, three new members is a pretty significant change for a board this size. So if you do want to just kind of let it roll for a while like you did, oh, I don't know, last year sometime when Reese was departing before Doug took over as chair, you could do something like that and kind of get a sense of everyone's time and what they have, their bandwidth and interests. But again, eventually it'd be nice to have someone so that I have someone to look over and approve the letters before they go out.
Oh, I understand. I just wanted to make sure it was okay if we keep kicking it, since I don't think any of us want it.
Yeah, we're going to table this, I think. Does everyone agree we'll table this?
Yeah, let's table it.
Yeah, I think by consensus, we're going to table that. And the consequence, I think, if I'm following this right, is that Stephen will in effect be acting as chair next month. And so if a letter's to be signed, he'll be able to sign the letter and things like that. So I think that's where we're leaving it, by tabling it. But I think that, I don't know if we need a motion, because there's a consensus, I think, on that.
You don't need a motion.
Okay. All right. Any items for next month's agenda that we want to bring up? Obviously, we've just tabled the election of the chair, so that would fall under old business at the next meeting. Other things that we know we want for the next meeting?
You want me to have future plans for review of complaints with regard to kind of, those would be review of complaints that aren't on appeal, or do you want to just kind of see where things are with training? You all have had a record number of appeals this year, so little bit of breathing room to kind of catch up with the rest of things in your life. You can not put that on and just wait until you're ready to tackle those.
Because we're still going to have new people, hopefully. You know, I don't know where the city's at in the process of applicants and all.
The deadline was this week? Or last week, so they may be picking on the 21st. Is that correct?
I think that would be the goal. I don't know how many applicants they have, and I know they're doing interviews.
I believe the deadline is right around the first or second week of October, so I was hoping that November could be a meet and greet.
Right. That's what I'm hoping as well.
Yeah, and again, I think we might be operating pretty much by consensus here rather than by needing a vote. It seems that with new people coming onto the board, having a discussion of how the review of complaints is going to be handled could be productive for getting everybody on the same page, instead of discussing it before they come aboard. And
how about I put down future plans for review of complaints if the board is fully...
Excellent. Anything else that people feel need to be on the agenda for next month's meeting?
No, sir.
All right, we're to the reports. Human Rights Commission report. Steph?
We attended Pride Fest this year and tabled on Sunday. It was quite fun. We always have brightly colored sugar that attracts the children. making sure we let people know and are aware that we exist. Their forms of redress possible to them through the city, and then making sure that they know that within the city of Columbia they are afforded some extra rights and liberties that the state of Missouri doesn't always recognize, such as freedom from discrimination of gender identity, et cetera. It was good. And reviewing complaints, I have an employer in town who seems quite problematic right now. But yeah.
Right. I don't think we got other reports, and therefore we'll move then to general comments by the public. We have a reasonable number of people here today. So once again, the individual members of the public will be allowed 3 minutes to address the board. Representative of groups will be allowed 5 minutes to address the board. Stephanie's our timekeeper.
I got this. I got it.
Even already has my 5 minutes up there.
I know it.
My name is Chris Jones. I am speaking on behalf of Hoke Homo Cannibal. A few months ago, very specifically in July, I stood before you and I told you about a very specific incident that I learned about at the Human Rights Commission. During the incident, I'm going to, now, as a member of Hoke Homo Cannibal and members of other local groups, I do, when I attend all of these city meetings, I do have a chat going with various members of the committees that I am on. I am going to read to you some, not all, I repeat, not all, but some of what I wrote that night. We need to find out who Steph Yoakum did her ride-along with. So Steph Yoakum did a ride-along about a month ago. It was bad, bad, bad. I'm not going to particularly ruin the ending, but, and then I'll leave that part out. CPD got a call from St. Louis that a teen in Como tried to commit suicide. CPD got dispatched at 10:30. Officer lollygagged along doing dipshit and doesn't arrive until 11:45. Not a typo. Kid is bleeding out. Kid survived. Parents upstairs and knew nothing. Night was spent with cop escalating situations, zigzagging to calls instead of fastest route, randomly turning on lights to get calls outside of beat because, and I quote, sounded fun. Going to various extended stay hotels and running everyone for warrants. That is not what I call what an officer should be doing. No, so that very night, the very next CPRB meeting, which would have been about a week later, I stood before you and I told you guys what had happened, what I had overheard. And Stephanie Yoakum, right up there, right among you, she is one of you, gave a report also of what happened that night. But she left a lot of stuff out of what I got to witness in the Human Rights Commission, because for various reasons. So at the end of my public comment, I look over here to Paul Dickinson, who does not ever look up at me, and I said that I am officially filing a complaint. Now, I just last week received that they found that all of my complaints were unfounded. Now, I want to read to you. I read to you most of what I sent out to them. I did not repeat what I said up here at the dais, but in the complaint, Assistant Chief Head of IA Paul Dickinson said that I complained about responding to emergencies and non-emergencies in a safe and efficient manner. Yeah, I did, kind of. Zigzagging, law-gagging. Maintain high standards of misconduct, cooperation, efficiency in the economy, in their work, and department heads and supervisors shall organize and direct the work of their units in a manner calculated to achieve objectives. And biased policing. However, you guys, this is the first meeting that you're going to be at that you are looking for, that you are held to only four things: excessive use of force, discourtesy, offensive language, and abuse of authority. And what you're going to find out is when you guys go upstairs, you're going to find out that you are going to have to decide whether any of my complaints that Assistant Police Chief Paul Dickinson said that I complained about, but he only mentioned a couple. He did not mention that the officer took an hour and 15 minutes to respond to a child committing suicide. This was not an adult like we've had other times. This was a child. This was a minor, somebody under the age of 18. And according to Internal Affairs, it's totally okay for a police officer to lollygag, to go around looking for bullets, because that was what he was doing. And then when he was not asked to look for bullets, he decided it would be more fun to go look for bullets. So according to Assistant Police Chief Paul Dickinson, it is totally okay to spend an hour and 15 minutes to arrive to a child committing suicide. It is totally okay for police officers to go rounding up rosters in order to target unhoused individuals. It is not. It is totally okay to escalate situations instead of de-escalate. You have been here before and told that they are highly trained in de-escalation. I am here before you and telling you they are not. So I do expect to be called upstairs tonight. Thank you.
Comments?
Good evening, Tracy Wilson, Klee Camp. This is my granddaughter, Brinley. She is the third wheel trouble, so I helped out tonight by bringing her with me, away from the other two. I just want to briefly just talk a little bit about de-escalation. And I know that you've got these four parameters. I know you have these four parameters now that you are going to focus on, but I still think this will fit. So in the police world, there's no common definition of de-escalation. So that's something to talk about when you talk about de-escalation, not simply just with mental health issues, but for a lot of different kinds of things. So I think that's important. My area that I'm interested in is curriculum. And so I look at police curriculum, and there's a big conversation in the police world about de-escalation and how you establish that as a process in your training. So Chief Schlute has a new academy. I'd be really interested to see what that de-escalation component looks like in their curriculum. So I hope you'll look into that. There is also another area that I'm interested in, and I know because Chief Schlute is using the CURVE as a framework, I am very interested in how de-escalation is tied to bias. And I will give an example. I know. So bias can work out in lots of different ways, depending on your lived experience. So for example, if you encounter someone who's autistic and you corner them, you will get in a bad situation. So to de-escalate that situation, you have to have some other tools. I have a point of departure in that it's my preference that police not be in situations like that. That's why I support co-responders. And this is why I would support co-responders and people like that who have those kinds of skills. So I'm also curious in the new curriculum how that will be dealt with, because in the immediate future, I don't see that we have a co-responder. I don't see that we have those external resources coming. And we also have a lot of young officers on the force, and your use of force reports note that your young officers have the most encounters with people involving violence in various ways. And violence meaning there's a negative physical encounter with people. So I think you can get a lot of mileage out of de-escalation, but I think it's a very good thing to talk about publicly and getting the council to talk about it too, because it is a distraction. When we talk about crime and we talk about violence, we are not talking about the tools that we need to navigate some of those root causes that put us in the situation in the first place where we have a de-escalation situation. So thank you for your time. Sorry for my little squiggle. Can you say good night?
Bye.
Bye.
Without this. Bye.
Thank you.
Good night. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. She did.
Good evening. Susan Renee Carter, president of Race Matters Friends. And so, you know, we just want the board to know that we're going to continue to push the council and the legislature to reinstate the duties that this board had before this last legislative session changed them. So that's one thing. But until then, we're here to remind you that this board is about protecting the people. It's not about the police. The people need you to protect them. And I feel like this board, up until this major change was made, that you were moving in the right direction. I also want to remind you that a police officer on the dais is not where he belongs. It's intimidating to people who are afraid of speaking due to retaliation. It's also not about the police, as I said. This board is for the people. And so just as an aside, is to remember that David Tyson Smith, a community member, he's also our representative, helped design and put together this board and advocated for all of the pieces of this board that would protect the people, has come to you and told you that a police officer on the dais is not where he belongs. And so we're asking that you remove police officer from the dais. If they want to attend the meeting, they should be in plain clothes and they should be in the audience so that people can feel free to come up here and speak to you about their concerns without being worried about being retaliated against. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Dan Beetz, 15 North 10th Street. I want to thank you for the work you're doing on this commission, the time you give up to serve the community, and for listening to all of us.
May I ask you, you're speaking on behalf of your organization or for yourself?
I'm sorry, what?
Are you speaking on behalf of your organization or for yourself?
On behalf of the organization, but I'll try not to go on too long.
I'm new at this part.
Sure, I understand. Well, the Mid-Missouri Civil Liberties Association is a group that I work with, and we had a role in establishing this group. We nagged the mayor and council to establish the group. It was talked about and talked about for years and years, but I'm not sure it ever would have actually happened if we hadn't worked along with others to focus the council's attention on getting it done. And so I think the group serves a very important purpose. But my purpose in speaking to you this evening is to question Senate Bill 754. You all are familiar with that, of course. You've spent more time than you wish, I'm sure, talking about it. But I'll tell you that, and I don't claim to have any special expertise in this area, but the first thing that occurred to me is that as interpreted, at least, by our city staff, it seems to me there are obvious First Amendment issues here. There's a obvious First Amendment protection for all of you to speak about whatever the hell you want to speak about. You know, I don't believe the legislature of the state of Missouri or the council of the city of Columbia have the power to take away your First Amendment rights. If you want to talk about police policy, by God, you have the right to talk about police policy, and we all do. Now, I would have loved to have seen our city staff leap into action and file a challenge against the validity of this statute if that's the way they believe it's properly interpreted. But instead, they leaped into action to reinforce it, to encourage the city council to pass what apparently is a redundant ordinance, just restating and reinforcing the restrictions that they believe the legislature has placed on all of you and all of us. I don't think the legislature has that power. You all came up with, I think, a what should be an obvious solution, a clever solution, in fact, to create a second body to take up those policy questions. But those policy questions are extremely important. We all have not just a right, but a responsibility to consider the public policy of everything our government does, including our police department. Just a few weeks back, a man was killed at the intersection of Providence Road and Business Loop because he was being chased by a law enforcement officer after being stopped for a minor traffic offense. He engages in a high-speed chase from Paris Road down to the Business Loop, then all the way up to Providence, whereupon he crashes into an innocent bystander's automobile. And it is pure luck that he was, I'm not sure I can call it luck, but we're fortunate that no one else was killed in this incident. I suggest to you that it would be a reasonable position to take that chases that endanger lives shouldn't be conducted over minor traffic offenses. But that's a question that deserves attention, that deserves consideration. There are many, many others that are the proper subject of examination by public bodies and public citizens. We don't have to be experts, after all, to participate in the decision of who's going to be president of the United States. And we don't have to be experts to participate in a discussion of what the proper policies are for our police department. And so I will just alert you that certainly litigation is a possibility here. It is quite possible that litigation will be undertaken to challenge the validity of Senate Bill 754, apparently not by our city, but others who have an interest in the topic. If I can respond to any questions, I'll be happy to. Otherwise, I thank you again.
Any other comments? Public, then comments by members?
I will just remind everyone that there are 3 board vacancies open, and we would love your opinion and experience and expertise. Please apply. Encourage those that you know to apply.
I guess I'll say this is my last meeting. I'm not reapplying, but I'm thankful for being here, and we'll miss it, but I just can't commit to the 3-year term, so I appreciate it.
And it's also will be my last meeting. I could say a good deal about why, but what I would say is that after much thought, I've decided I can do more good, in effect, from the other side of the dais than I can from this side. And so I'm committing my time to that. All right, staff, comments? No comments from the staff? Okay, in that case, I'll go ahead and make the motion to go into closed session to discuss records which are protected from disclosure by law, section 610.21. 14 and 590.502 RISMO.
Second.
Moved and seconded to go into closed session. That's a roll call vote, is it not, Rose?
Correct.
Okay.
Do you want me to call the roll?
Yeah.
Denise? Yes. Harry?
Yes.
Stephanie Coleman?
Yes.
Doug?
Yes.
Jamie?
Yes.
Steph?
Yes.
Board will meet in 2A for a closed session.